presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
One of the themes we've addressed now for kind of quite some time, at least certainly over the course of the summer, is the variety of opinions that seem to exist out there when it comes to Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. Now, broadly speaking, everybody agrees in the same thing, that Fromm is one of the top quarterbacks in college football and one of the central figures of this season storyline. There's no one who would say anything other than that, but the more you drill down on this, the more you get into the granular details, if I'm using that phrase correctly, the more you kind of get to that point in time, you do see these, and we've pointed this out a lot, the drastically different opinions that are kind of out there. Let me give you a quick example of this. It seems like every national outlet has had its turn in profiling Jake Fromm as of late. We referenced yesterday, I thought, the really good piece that David Hale wrote for ESPN.com, the pretty good piece that Sports Illustrated had, and USA Today also had a piece up on Jake Fromm, and the writer, and I apologize for not remembering his name, but the writer said something to the effect of, Fromm is almost for sure leaving school after this year, and there's a chance that he may be the first quarterback drafted in the 2020 NFL draft. That's an example of kind of one end of the spectrum when it comes to Jake. Leaving school for sure as a junior, and maybe drafted ahead of Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert or any of the other quarterbacks who will be available in this upcoming draft. That's kind of the more positive end when it comes to Jake Fromm. Let me give you an example of not necessarily the far end of the other spectrum, but someone who apparently thinks that Fromm's going to come back next year, and maybe this year not quite the one for Georgia, because ultimately that's what probably matters more about the quote that I'm about to read you, more so than anything else. For the Georgia fans who are starving, for the Georgia fans who are craving that national championship, who, you know, lived through the close but no cigar season of 2017 and the attempt to follow that up in 2018, for the fans who wanted more of that, apparently at least one SEC network analyst, it's a guy you've heard of, apparently he thinks you may be waiting a little bit longer. Let me show you what Greg McElroy recently said on television as quoted by 24/7 Sports, who was watching this kind of closely. McElroy says, it might be this year for Georgia winning a national championship. I really like what Georgia brings back this year. I think next year is their year, though. So if I were to tell you the year they were going to win the national championship, I'd say 2020. Fromm will be a senior. In other words, McElroy doesn't think he's leaving after this year. They will still have one of the best offensive lines in college football, McElroy says. And I feel that defensive playmaker along the front four will maybe have grown into himself at that point, referencing the fact that some of those guys for Georgia this year are a little bit young. That's still a position that I'm still a little questionable about on as far as their contention this upcoming season. So McElroy, a little different than some of the national media, he doesn't think it's a foregone conclusion that Jake Fromm leaves after this year, and therefore he thinks Georgia's best chance of winning a national championship is 2020 and not 2019. Now, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is not what Georgia fans want to hear, nor is this the kind of patience that Georgia fans want to show. They are chomping at the bit to win a national championship and saying, yeah, listen, 2020 may be more the year. That's the kind of thing that most of them are going to find very distasteful. Now, as someone who kind of spouts off hot takes for a living, what I will tell you is this is also a little bit of a tricky device that McElroy is using. He doesn't want to come down too hard on Georgia, doesn't have that strong of an explanation for why they're not going to win the national championship this year, so he sort of punts on to the next year on that. But when it comes to waiting until 2020 to win a national championship, even though that might be true, Georgia might not win one this year, might win one next year, sometime eventually I think it's going to happen, and 2020 might be the year that takes place. I do think, though, there is kind of a good news, bad news scenario when it comes to this. The good news is, when it comes to Georgia in 2020, I think Georgia's every bit a national championship contender next season, regardless of who the quarterback is, whether it's Jake Fromm or not. And the truth is, I don't know. I mean, I think this season goes a long way towards deciding what Fromm's fate as a future NFL guy might be. And I think it goes a long way towards determining what his overall legacy in college football is going to be. A very good quarterback who's a fan favorite amongst UGA fans, or one of the all-time great guys in the modern age. this season for him will determine a lot of that, and we'll all have to sort of sit back and watch it and kind of ride it and see, you know, see where it all goes. So I can't tell you if Fromm's going to be on this roster in 2020 or not. He might not. But what I can say with some confidence is that even if he's not the quarterback for Georgia in 2020, I do believe, much like apparently Greg McElroy believes, that Georgia is still very much in the national championship conversation. However, the bad news part of this, and I think this is the kind of thing that a Georgia fan really has to wrestle with, even though Fromm's a junior now, could come back as a senior, the actual truth is I don't think it gets any easier to win a national championship in 2020 than it does in 2019. I mean, you can check the math on this yourself. Don't believe me when I tell you this. Pull up Google or, you know, some search engine and check this for yourself. Go back and look at the recent modern history of college football, whether it be, you know, the college football playoff era of the last 5 years, the previous few years of the BCS era before that. Go back and check all of that for yourself. How frequently has it been that a senior returning starter has put his team in the national championship conversation, has actually won a national championship? You can check this for yourself. That has not typically been the profile of recent national championship winning quarterbacks. Now, there have been some very good juniors who were returning starters, but for the most part, when you look at the guys who have won, the guys that came up just short, experience of the quarterback position when it comes to winning a national championship has not mattered quite as much as you might think. So as I said before, the good news on the heels of what McElroy had to say in 2020, I do believe that Georgia is likely a national championship contender. The bad news, even if you do have a senior quarterback, it doesn't necessarily get any easier because on paper, at least, Alabama's not going anywhere. And on paper, at least, with a junior quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, in 2020, the Clemson Tigers don't seem to be going anywhere either. And who knows what happens for teams like LSU, and maybe by that time, Florida's stumbled into some success and figured something out. 2020 doesn't necessarily get any easier, which actually kind of pivots back to what the Georgia message all offseason's been anyway. You won't hear any Georgia fan, or I should say any Georgia coaches and players, taking the long-term view right now, even though they don't have any plans of going anywhere. And even though they have strong plans on being in contention for a long time to come, I think what the Georgia coaches and players see is what was a close opportunity in 2017, another chance to validate themselves in 2018, and they are, for the moment, putting all their chips in the basket of getting it done this season and letting 2020 figure out itself. In fact, Kirby Smart talked about that going back to the month of July at SEC Media Days. Here's what he said then.
One of the themes our players have adopted this year has been to do more. It's a great theme because it's simple. We like it because we understand how close we've been to taking the next step. And although 24-5 the last two seasons is good, it's not good enough. It's not where we expect to be at the University of Georgia. Our mission is to bridge that gap. You know, by the actions we take, hence the word do more, those words require action. You know, and I heard a quote coming in here. I read a quote coming in this morning that really grabbed me, and I'm not a big quote guy, but when I heard this quote, I thought that's something that our players can relate to. Life has no remote. You've got to get up and change it yourself. And if you think about that, so many of us want to take the easy way out, whether it's changing the channel with a remote or anything else, not doing the work that has to be done. We want to do more at the University of Georgia. We're not complacent in what we've done, and we know we need to take that next step. And for us, pressure is a reflection of ambition. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves day in and day out. The stress and pressure we feel emanates from our building, from our coaches, from our players putting it on each other, from our university. We apply it every day.
So listen, we all know, those of us who've been Georgia fans for a long time, that the whole idea of wait till next year is something this fan base has had to live with for a long time. But when you listen to Kirby Smart and those words right there, pressure reflecting the ambition that this program has, doing more right now, not getting complacent, saying, yeah, maybe 2020 will be the year we get all this done. That's not what the Georgia coaches and players are talking like right now. It's not going to get any easier in any future year to win a national championship than it will in 2019. So as the Georgia fans are certainly hoping for, the Georgia coaches and players seem to have the plan to just go ahead and do more now and go ahead and let that national championship take care of itself. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thank you for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, a lot of video channels for you to check out Dog Nation Daily. Also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref and various podcast outlets as well. The Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player. We post the show at the worldfamousdognation.com. Just really glad to have you a part of our program today. And boy, I can't wait to celebrate with all of you. Did you know it's actually 1 week from today? And I've already heard from people kind of outside the state of Georgia who are planning for driving in on this. Last year, we had hundreds of folks on hand. This year going to be, I think, even bigger and certainly even more fun. Anytime Dog Nation gets together under one roof, it's always a blast. Well, y'all, we are 1 week away from our Kroger kickoff, starting the season in style Thursday, August 22nd at the Kroger Marketplace Incoming. That's 5550 Bethelview Road. Let me give you the address one more time. Please make sure you write this down because there are a lot of Krogers in the area. I want to make sure you get the right location. You join us. 5550 Bethelview Road Incoming. 6 p.m. a week from today on Thursday, August 22nd. The entire Dog Nation team is going to be there. We're going to be chatting and talking about college football. And, you know, we just talked about how Georgia fans don't want to wait until 2020 to win a national championship. They want to do more in 2019, or at least see their team do more to get that done this upcoming season. We'll talk that night more about how that might happen. I think it's going to be a great time. Y'all, I love these season kickoffs. Kroger's an unbelievable partner for us, and they really roll out the red carpet and hospitality. There's the bar, like right there in the middle. They call it the Crow Bar. I mean, you can go shopping, and the bar is right there, and that's kind of where we gather around. And last year, we just had hundreds and hundreds of people kind of wrapping around this bar right there in the center of the Kroger Marketplace. It's a really cool event, and so you can enjoy a cocktail, a little beer, a little wine, whatever you want to do, and sit back and relax and talk a little football with us as a part of Kroger kickoff next Thursday, August 22nd at the Kroger Marketplace right there on Bethelview Road Incoming. All right, before I talk to a very special guest today, I'm really excited about having Sean Bailey, the great former Georgia Bulldog, here with us on Dog Nation Daily today to talk about his career, big moment, a big game, how does Georgia recapture that magic this season, and thoughts on what it's like to be a wide receiver transitioning into a bigger role this year. Sean's going to be really good on that. Before that, though, let me go around the doghouse presented today by our friends at Online Trading Academy. And little internal criticism from me this week. Don't normally get a lot of that. Normally here on Dog Nation World Headquarters, we're all on the same page. Normally, we're all getting along really well. Jeff, Connor, myself, our buddy Mike Griffith, he's actually in Athens every day. We're Dog Nation World Headquarters here in Atlanta. But the other day, Connor Riley, a Dog Nation producer, friend even, said that he did not think I had talked enough about Zamir White this week, that I did not give Zamir enough credit for what was apparently a pretty impressive scrimmage on Saturday. That's the whispers anyway. And Kirby Smart was asked about that when he spoke to the media Saturday afternoon after that scrimmage was over. So far be it from me to go more than a day or two without kind of sending the Zamir White hype train down the track. So here's a little bit more of Kirby Smart talking about Zamir White from Saturday.
He's had some live for today because we've done a couple periods and things throughout. We just hadn't had a live scrimmage. I thought he was really contact tough. I mean, he was running behind his pads. He had a couple short yardage runs that were crucial, third and ones, fourth and ones. He was able to churn it out and get first downs. He did have some big catches. He had a good overall day. I mean, he's got to protect the ball. He's got to protect the quarterback. But I think everybody judges him based on what he does when the ball's in his hands, and there's a lot more to being a good running back than that.
So obviously he's got a lot of things he's going to do, but Kirby's right. We do judge him based on what he does with the ball in his hands. And if he's making tough runs, whether it's Smart said that he was, and if he was making big catches to you, that's the phrase that Kirby Smart used. He had some big catches. Y'all, that sounds, you know, really good to most of the fans who are excited about seeing Zamir White on the field. And another one of our buddies around here, Jeff Centel, he and I were debating Zamir a little bit yesterday as a part of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. And, you know, Jeff said that he thought that, you know, a DeAndre Swift-level performance or a Sony Michel-level performance might be a pretty good benchmark for Zamir during his freshman season. Those guys maybe had less yards in that freshman year than you might remember. With all due respect to my friend and colleague Jeff Centel, though, I'm going to take a slightly slightly different opinion on that. I think when you look at recent freshman running backs for Georgia, you don't look just look at DeAndre Swift, who was the number three guy in 2017, or Sony Michel, who was the number three guy, at least to start the year, in 2014. That's not what you look at. I think you have to look at the totality of recent freshman running backs. You have to add in Nick Chubb, who had a monstrous, 1,400-yard total in 2014. Todd Gurley had nearly 1,300 yards in 2012 as a freshman. I think you have to have kind of average all of that together when you think about the potential impact of Zamir White this season. I think right now Zamir is certainly in the mix to be one of Georgia's top two or top three running backs and a big part of the success formula for the Dogs this year. Can't wait to see it. It's Around the Doghouse presented by Online Trading Academy. You know, Online Trading Academy provides something that we all need more of. That's an opportunity to make more money, earn more money. And what Online Trading Academy provides is a chance to do that by learning how the markets work and finding a way to make the markets work for you. So you can learn about a variety of trading styles, a spectrum of asset classes, both in the classroom and online. They make it all really convenient, and they're going to empower you to make decisions on your own behalf and start making money in the market. So please check out this website. It's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. Great to have them as a part of Around the Doghouse, our friends at Online Trading Academy, and great to have you as a part of Dog Nation Daily as well. Hope you enjoy former Georgia wide receiver Sean Bailey. And boy, I got nothing but great memories of the 2005 SEC Championship. Really a highlight of a very good career for Sean Bailey in the Georgia uniform, but a big performance that day as really UGA was a big underdog against the LSU Tigers. Sean, welcome back to Dog Nation Daily. I always enjoy the chance to reminisce with you and talk a little football. It's really a great honor to have you back on the program here today, and I hope that you're doing well.
Yeah, no, I'm doing awesome. I appreciate you guys bringing me on.
Absolutely. And you know, I was talking as we were bringing you on the phone about my memories of the 2005 SEC Championship. And as I said before, and I'm sure you obviously remember this, you know, going into that game, the thought was, you know, LSU's the big favorite. You know, LSU was the team that the national media was picking to win. And if memory serves, I want to say they were, a double-digit favorite, if not a two-touchdown favorite. And yet you and DJ Shockley and the rest of your UGA teammates, led by Coach Rick, dominated that game pretty much from the outset, and you made two big touchdown catches in that game. The obvious sort of correlation with right now is this is a Georgia team that's also looking for how it's going to play big in those big moments in Atlanta, new Dome Stadium, but still essentially the same spot when it gets back to an SEC championship or when it gets to a college football playoff. As a guy that's played big for Georgia in a big game before, what would you say to this current crop of Dogs who hope to also come up big in a big moment?
Yeah, I think you alluded to it. As you get towards the end of the season, that's when those big games come. You know, we play Auburn at the end. Hopefully we'll see an Alabama or Auburn in the SEC championship, and you got to play at Clemson when you get to that Final Four. So, you know, the young dogs, the receivers have a long season to grow up. So I'm not, worried about them being nearly not having as much experience because they'll gain that experience as they go. And by the time you get to those crucial games, you know, they'll no longer be, you know, first year or second year players. They'll be seasoned from the season.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point to bring up because obviously, and I'm sure you hear the chatter amongst UGA fans, there is some concern about the fact that, you know, with guys going to the NFL and a guy that you thought would be a part of this team not being there, you look around right now and you mostly see inexperience. But I think the point that you're making, and I'm hoping you'll talk a little more about this for us, is that the way the season ramps up, now you've got a big game against Notre Dame in September this year, which makes things a little different than a typical year, but as you head towards November versus Florida, for instance, Auburn later on the season, the SEC championship, it sounds like you think that Georgia might use a good bit of the 2019 season to help grow those guys into what Georgia needs for them to be when the games matter most. Is that fair to say that that's kind of how you see this going a little bit this year?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the difference between the guys we have from the guys that were playing last year is just experience. You know, you look at their recruiting, you look at, you know, how they come in, they're highly recruited, they're five-star guys. They just lack, you know, the opportunities and experience. And I think it's key for Coach Coley to get those guys, throw them in, even the games that we're winning, just to give them opportunities not only to succeed but also to have a little bit of failure, because that's how you grow. And as you go through that early part of the season, you do have the Notre Dame, but you have some games in there where those guys can get a lot of experience, and I think it'll pay off towards the end of the season if we're aggressive throughout that point. You know, obviously we have a great running game. We have one of the best quarterbacks, probably the best offensive line. But I think it's important to grow those receivers and make sure you give them opportunities, you know, not only to succeed but to fail, so they can grow and they're ready for those big time moments when we need them, down the stretch.
Yeah, Sean, I think that's a really good point. And you know, you talk about James Coley, the new offensive coordinator, and his chance to opportunity anyway to be a little bit more aggressive at times with the play calling. And I'm just like you. I love the Georgia running backs, impressed with the Georgia offensive line, and the overall philosophy that's been in place over the last couple of years clearly works because Georgia's winning a lot of games. However, that said, there are those moments against the best teams that you play where you do need to kind of come at them with something different, almost like a left hand to go along with the right hand, and that is that deep throwing game a little bit. Are you of the belief that for Georgia to go all the way to win the national championship, they are going to have to add a little more of an extra passing dimension to what has been clearly a dominant running game the last couple of years?
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, if you go back to even, 2012, the last when Coach Rick was playing, Nick Saban, and you look how Kirby played Alabama. We were historically a great running team, but those, the Alabama, the Clemson, the Oklahomas, you have to have that passing game. You can't be one-dimensional. And the thing about us is we can be a little bit one-dimensional, and we can get to the SEC championship game, but we can't win the big games being one-dimensional. So my thing is, from the start, let's open it up, and even the games that we know we can win running the ball, let's get that air game going. That way, when we need it down the road, those guys are seasoned and ready for that challenge.
You obviously watch the wide receiver position so much different than other people do because you played the spot. And I'm sure when you look at this current crop of receivers, even though we haven't seen some of these guys on the college field at all before, and many of them we haven't seen on Georgia's field all that much, I imagine you see a lot of things that you like, whether it be the speed of Demetrius Robertson. That's a world-class, track guy almost. He's blazing speed. The size of George Pickens. There was the viral catch earlier in this week where, he almost looks like Randy Moss going up there and high-pointing a football, making a one-hand catch, almost Odell Beckham style. As someone who plays the receiver position and looks at the current talent level that Georgia has, even if some of those guys haven't exactly become all that seasoned yet, I mean, what do you think of the overall talent level that Georgia possesses in that group right now?
I mean, I'm extremely excited. They had like a fantasy football for college football. This group of guys is it, because like you said, they're so versatile. You have that height. You have Cajun, 6'5". Jordan's a big guy. Then you have, those quick scat type, like Don Blaylock and Demetrius. So we can stretch the field. We can do a lot of stuff underneath. There's so many compliments to each other. Then again, you put Jake Fromm back there, who's one of has the highest football IQ there is out there. You got Swift in the backfield. There's so many possibilities, and I'm super, super excited.
Let me do a couple things with you, Sean, before we let you go here today. We appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily, of course. You mentioned Jake Fromm before. That's also a position you're going to evaluate differently than the rest of us because, as a wide receiver, you're looking to have that ball delivered to you. What do you think it would be like to play with Jake Fromm? What do you like about his game, and what do you look to see him maybe look to grow and develop here during his junior season, which could be a pivotal year for him in terms of establishing some credentials that could put him into the first round of next spring's NFL draft? As a receiver, how do you evaluate Fromm?
Yeah, I mean, I start with the intangibles. I start with, he's a team guy. He's a natural born leader. He's one of those guys that you hang out with off the field that, can relate. He was a big time recruiter for us when he was in high school senior year. So he's just one of those guys that doesn't matter what your background is, he's going to relate with you and you're going to hang out and you're going to build that chemistry off the field. And then when you get onto the field, just his smarts, his intelligence, just the way that he's come in and he's just worked extremely hard. I can guarantee you he's the first guy there and he's the last guy to leave. And he's gonna make all the right reads. He's gonna check you into all the right progressions and all that stuff. And that's key for that position. And then he's he's athletic. You know, you think of him as a thrower or whatever, but he has the quickness to move in the pocket to escape the rush and to get the pass off, which I think is one of the things that he's underrated on. So, to me, he's the best in college football right now.
I think that's really interesting. Let me finish up with this. You know, you knew Kirby Smart before the rest of us really did, at least in terms of his current persona. He was the running backs coach. We talked about your 2005 SEC championship team. He was the running backs coach back then. That means, and obviously in practice, you're not, you know, spending as much time with him as some of the other guys were. But and did you ever have any imagination back then that he would go to become the kind of coach that he's turned out to be and the single-minded focus on winning and bringing success to UGA? How much did you all see of that back him in terms of clues that he would drop, you know, here and there that he was really heading somewhere as a coach?
Yeah, it, for me, it actually started my senior year in high school. He was a grad assistant at Florida State, and Florida State thought so highly of him. He was one of the guys that recruited me the hardest. You don't really hear too much of GA's, you know, recruiting guys. You know, I was fortunate enough to be highly recruited, so they thought that much of him. He was the guy that was calling me during the week and talking and all that stuff. So I knew way back before he even had a coordinating position that he was going to be somebody special. And like you said, in 05 when he was at Georgia, to go from the defensive side of the ball to come to the offensive side of the ball to coach, just to learn and just to put yourself in different positions, to put yourself in an uncomfortable position, knowing that in the long game it was going to make you a better coach. That was another thing that he did that was just extremely impressive. So, you know, I love Coach Rick, but if it wasn't going to be Coach Rick, I'm happy that we got Kirby leading us.
Well, I'll tell you this, Sean. So many Georgia fans have such great memories of your time at UGA, and they love hearing your perspective on what's going on with this current team. I know you're busy. I really appreciate you making some time for us here on Dog Nation Daily today. It's always a lot of fun for me to get a chance to talk to you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on the Dogs, and we'll look forward to hopefully getting a chance to catch up with you again very soon.
Yeah, I love it. I appreciate you for thinking of me.
Absolutely. That's Sean Bailey there, the great former Georgia Bulldog, just an incredible guy and a really incredible insight into what's going on with UGA. I really, really enjoyed that. And I do like these stories of Kirby Smart before he became Alabama defensive coordinator, because by that point in time, that kind of, you know, emulation, mirror image of Nick Saban seemed to be pretty much fully in place. And over the course of the next few years, we kind of saw, you know, that grow into full fruition before he left the Alabama program after the 2015 season. But I love going back to the time before that. And, you know, I'm always that way on everybody because, listen, you know, I'm like anybody else. Yeah, I've got goals and objectives and things that I'm trying to achieve in life. And, you know, you wonder what's the best way to get that done? What's the best way to be the person you want to be? And sometimes I do find it to be kind of inspiring to sort of see guys, whether it be, you know, Kirby as a coach or whoever as a player, or, you know, somebody as a broadcaster, you know, kind of whatever you want to pick. You know, people have kind of traveled that path. And I'm a big believer in the idea that success leaves clues. In other words, people who are on their way up will show you hints along the way that that's what they're doing. This is not one of those things where you just sort of, you know, tap somebody on the shoulder with a magic wand and say, hey, you're the future of college football. No, there are things that get noticed along the way that says this is a person that an institution wants to invest its time, money, and resources into. And Sean Bailey does a great job of saying this. And Sean is being modest, but it's true. He was a big-time recruit as a receiver coming out of high school. And as he said before, working as a graduate assistant at Florida State, the fact that the Seminoles program would have said, and back then Florida State was a big, big, big program. That's Chris Winkie era. That's you know, national championship era Florida State stuff. For them to say, well, okay, we're going to turn Kirby Smart, this young graduate assistant who, you know, was a part of NFL training camp once with the Indianapolis Colts and a pretty good defensive back at the University of Georgia. We're going to turn him loose and on the Sean Bailey recruitment. Now, they didn't ultimately win that recruitment. Bailey goes to Georgia. But that does give you that clue. And as Sean said, here's this guy, defensive-minded guy, spent his whole life on that side of the ball. But in 2005 in Georgia, he sort of closes up a hole in his resume, comes over and coaches the offensive side for a moment, coaches those running backs. I think that's a really interesting thing to think about. I love the biographical information about a lot of these guys. And I don't mean like the sort of cleaned up, sanitized version of it. I mean the real story of how you got to where you got. And it's kind of cool to see Sean Bailey, who had some interesting insight on that when it comes to Kirby Smart. Now, two other things about what Sean said, then we're going to move on and we're going to look at our SEC through for today. And then we'll hear from Eli Wolf before we're done on today's program, too. I think that Sean's point about the lack of experience for Georgia's wide receivers is very important, and it can't be said enough. Sean says, yes, this is an inexperienced group of Georgia wide receivers. However, by the time you play the games that really matter, Florida, admittedly a good secondary, Auburn, arguably the best defense in the SEC, SEC championship, and what Georgia fans hope is a college football playoff beyond that. If Georgia game plans right leading up to those games, by the time you play the games that matter most against the secondaries that are probably the best that you'll face, at that point in time, the Georgia defense, or I should say the Georgia wide receivers, they don't necessarily have to be that experienced by then. By that point, we take, well, right now we think of a crop of, what, 6, 7, maybe 8 receivers competing for playing time. Now we know who Georgia's top four is. Now we certainly have an idea of who the top six is, the rotation that goes on throughout the game. That the first few games of the season, even against a nationally ranked Notre Dame team, that's still an opponent that I think that Georgia's much better than. That's an opportunity to develop and grow, experiment a little bit. When you play these games that matter most, both in terms of clinching the division, winning the SEC, actually winning a national championship, by then, those guys won't be quite so young by the time all that rolls around. It's worth paying attention to. It's also interesting to hear Sean mention what he said about Jake Fromm and his athleticism. We've talked about that a good bit, going back to what Trent Dilfer, the quarterback's coach, that knew Fromm going back to the Elite 11 days, what he challenged Fromm to do. Fromm himself has said, listen, I do want to handle play action passes a little bit better. I do want to keep plays alive in the pocket a little bit more. Not running to gain rushing yards necessarily, but running a little bit more to keep plays alive, dancing around in the backfield maybe, for lack of a better phrase. It's interesting to hear Sean say that this is something that he believes Fromm will have in his repertoire more this season, and that's one of those things as we kind of debate and ask questions about just how Fromm will be viewed by the time his junior year's over. That aspect of his skill set, how athletic he looks in the pocket, I think will be a big part of that determination as well.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
One of my favorite things to do here on Dog Nation Daily, and I never take for granted all the chance we get to do that, talk to some of these former dogs. Good stuff from Sean Bailey a moment ago. Let me transition. Let's do SEC Through for a moment. And as we do, boy, let me tell you that there is nothing that is more fun than what we did this past summer, getting a chance to go to Callaway Resort and Gardens. Remember back in June when we were there? Yo, I love this resort, and, you know, my family, we go to the beach every year, and I got to tell you, my kids, and this is no exaggeration, this is no joke, they had just as much fun, if not more fun, with us at Callaway Resort and Gardens than any beach we've ever been to, because they do have the beach there around the lake. You know, they just have so many things that, you know, for me, I'm kind of a family guy, so what my kids like to do, there's like a little, like an inflatable water park, and I set up down in the lake. For me, that's, you know, golf, there's spa for my wife. We also had a great time kind of touring the gardens. They have a lot of like wildlife nature shows, birds of prey, things like that. They just do so much to take care of the whole family that it's a great getaway. And honestly, when you're really busy like we are, you know, I think one of the things that can be tricky sometimes is having enough time to kind of fit it all in. The good thing about Callaway Resort and Gardens, though, it's only a short drive from Atlanta, so you have maximum enjoyment, entertainment, have a great time, but you're able to do so without having to get too far away from the city of Atlanta. So I love it. It's a great getaway. I'll invite you to check it out there as well. CallawayGardens.com, the place to go for you to find out more about that. All right, let's talk about the SEC through here just for a moment. And I saw there's some news reports out there that Florida is working on a home-and-home series with Miami. Now, you know that these two teams are playing, and they're actually playing not this Saturday, but next Saturday. It's the what they call the Week Zero matchup. They moved it up in honor of the 150 years of college football. I think there's also ESPN experimenting with just making the college football season even a little bit longer than it's been before. Admittedly, I'm excited about the game, even though I don't care about Miami one way or another and can't stand Florida. I am really looking forward to this football game because This will be a pretty good referendum on some of the opinions we've been throwing around during the offseason. I can't wait to see it. And I do like the fact that Florida is potentially looking at Miami as one of its future non-conference opponents. And not just about the beefing up the schedule point, which I'll get to in a moment. But as schedules beef up, and they are going to, folks. I mean, it's just a fact. Florida is the most resistant team probably in all of major college football to adding big-time non-conference foes. They've never really done anything like this in the past. So if they are talking about this, that means that we are clearly moving that direction as a sport. But what I do like, and I like this for Florida here, and I like some of the stuff that Georgia's done. Obviously, everybody looks at the fun of going to Austin to play Texas, going to South Bend to play Notre Dame. Some of the other things that Georgia may do in the future, going out to Pasadena once again to play UCLA. Everyone loves the idea of that because it's kind of a cool travel experience. But from an on-field standpoint, I think there's an incredible level of value in playing regional non-conference rivalries. That's what Georgia-Clemson was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, the SEC only played a six-game conference schedule. So a lot of what you played were your regional non-conference rivals. Back then for Georgia, that included South Carolina in the 80s. Obviously, it's always, at least in my lifetime, included Georgia Tech. And I think there's some real value in that. That's why, in addition to these road trips Georgia's taking, I love the idea that Clemson's circling back on the schedule for Georgia again very soon. The fact that Georgia's playing a home-and-home pretty soon against Florida State. I think there's something really cool because you can develop a little more juice and have a little bit more meaning attached to an opponent that's close to you but not necessarily in your conference. And it also helps because, at least theoretically, those are the teams you're going to be competing with more in recruiting. So as much as it would be cool to see Florida go out and play somebody 1,000 miles from its Gainesville campus, honestly, Miami's been historically a very big program in the Sunshine State. Florida has been as well. The fact that they played each other as infrequently as they have, I think is kind of just dumb. They ought to be playing each other more, and I think it's good they are. One more thing on this, and I'll move off and talk about something else. I think Dan Mullen ends up looking bad from a PR standpoint on this, though, because remember, when Mullen was first questioned about, hey, will you be beefing up your schedule? Did you see where Georgia's playing Florida State? Will you be doing that? You know, Mullen's response was, we already play Florida State. It's almost like Mullen was not vocally in favor of adding games to Florida's schedule the way that Kirby Smart has been. And given the fact this was destined to happen anyway, Mullen should have just pretended that he was on board with it. This is what he wanted to do. It would have made him look tougher and better as opposed to what it kind of looks like now, which he was sort of drag kicking and screaming as the program tries to upgrade its schedule there. A couple more quick SEC through stories to get to. Did you see there was a report that Mike Gundy turned down the Tennessee job 3 times? I think this kind of stuff is interesting because there's obviously been lots of talk over the years of some of these Big 12 guys kind of coming in and being a part of, you know, various SEC programs, whether it be, Mike Leach, you know, coming to Tennessee, Mike Gundy apparently doing the same thing. There's been a lot of that over the course of time. I think that's really interesting because, honestly, as much as these guys know offensive football, the honest truth is, I don't think they would fit in very well. You know, the mullet that Gundy has worn at Oklahoma State, I don't think that fits in the SEC very well. You know, Leach being a pirate, kind of a little bit of a mercurial figure, I don't think that fits in really well in the SEC. So pretty clearly, at least according to Gundy, the Tennessee really wanted him. But had he come here, even though he knows offensive football and had a lot of success in Stillwater, I don't quite know how that would have been received by a lot of SEC fans. And one more quick SEC through story to get to here just for a moment. I did see where Gus Malzahn's provided another update on his quarterback situation. Sounds like there's been a good bit of rotation between Joey Gatewood and Bo Nix during some of the scrimmages that Auburn has done as of late. My guess is that when you see Auburn in a big game early in the year, Oregon, for instance, my guess is you see a good bit of both Gatewood and Nix, if I had to guess. And then by the time you get to Georgia in November, I think Malzahn at that point in time will have settled on one. And if I had to guess, I'd say it's Bo Nix. But there are people closer to that situation who are not counting out Joey Gatewood as of yet. The Auburn quarterback discussion, one way or another, though, is a pretty important storyline as we think about the upcoming season. Because it's, I believe on paper, it's Georgia's toughest game. And a competent quarterback by the time November gets here makes that game even tougher. We'll make that your SEC through. And speaking of Tennessee, who I mentioned a moment ago here on Dog Nation Daily. There is a former Vol now on the Georgia roster. You probably know this. It's the tight end Eli Wolf. And Georgia made a couple of its tight ends available to reporters this week. John Fitzpatrick, who I like and respect, out of Marist. I think Fitzpatrick's got an interesting future at Georgia. It's just he's so big. He's shown an ability to catch the ball, I think, at least in terms of at least what you're hearing. Maybe not so much in games yet, but I think that you know, he's got that athleticism to catch the football. And you know he's a part of this with Rylan Godey. He's been a little bit banged up thus far this summer. Charlie Warner, who's the unquestioned starter, but Eli Wolf kind of factors in this discussion a bit too when he talked this week about why he chose Georgia and how well he's fitting in right now with the rest of these tight ends, a position that some fans have some questions about. I thought Eli Wolf was good on this topic. Listen to the now newly minted Georgia tight end.
There was a position of need, and Charlie and Fitz are both great tight ends, and I felt like I could help the team along with those guys. And the tight end room is great. You know, Brett, you know, Rylan Godey, and the walk-ons, everybody's really talented here, so I'm excited for the season. We all push each other, and very mature tight end room, so we get the most out of practice and meetings, and we all help each other out.
So I think that's really good from Eli Wolf there. And one of the things he also went on to talk about over the course of this discussion is the fact that when he just made the decision to leave Tennessee, it was actually Kirby Smart, according to Wolf, that was on the phone with him talking about, you know, coming over to Georgia, which I think goes to show you what his potential value is there. I think Kirby Smart knew that he needed another body in that room. He knew he needed another tight end. And I think Wolf looks like he has a chance to at least fit in well. I don't know what the pecking order ultimately becomes behind Charlie Warner. I think when healthy, Rylan Godey, I know he's battled some injuries here, but when healthy, Rylan Godey's a very interesting prospect. I think Fitzpatrick, because he's been in the program, because of his size, I think he's also a pretty interesting guy there too. But Eli Wolf definitely factors into this, and the early buzz on him has been really good. Before I do the Gator Hater Updater, let me also say this. We had a great get-together last night with our friends at Dog Nation. A lot of friends and family, old friends, all there together. Just a fun time to for us all to be together. And one of the things that Connor Riley worked so hard on this and so many of you participated in, I guess a lot of you had sent in videos in honor of what was our 1,000th show a few days ago. And I just wanted to say thank you to all of you who participated in that. Y'all have really made that a special milestone for me, and I really appreciate that. By the way, speaking of milestones, 1,020 days, that's our Gator Hater Updater. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.